In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. On the show, we've gone in depth to understand the real agenda behind the United Nations agenda for the 21st century and have it put in context of real-time weather control and geoengineering. The local action of these programs are known as Agenda 21, and the global level action is known as the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Sustainable is one of the key words used in the rhetoric, and this word has been critically defined as artificial scarcity under the guise of conservation. It's a behavior modification scheme through social engineering. At its core, it's worldwide rationing. It is using less of everything: less food, less water, less energy, less mobility, less choice, less freedom. Sustainability is rationing. Based on the Agenda 21 research of Gary Galino in California, he recently looked at a report from Everett, Washington. The City Council issued the 2019 Council General Government Subcommittee Agenda. In one paragraph titled, "Why Do We Need to Take Local Actions?" it reads, "Our rapidly changing climate and rising global temperatures impact our city, state, and nation and the entire planet. We're already witnessing more extreme weather and climate events in our region. Hotter summers, more wildfires, increasing flooding risk, and more. Acting locally allows citizens in the community to take actions to collectively preserve our health and quality of life for current and future generations." But think about this in terms of the mountain of evidence exposing real-time weather control operations and geoengineering, as explained in depth by many guests on the show. The investigations into real-time weather control deployment has been shown to modify temperature, manipulate and move the atmospheric river and the jet stream, and force precipitation and drought events. This implies direct collusion with the United Nations. The long-term agenda to stack and pack people into cities, get them out of their cars and walking to work, is pushed along with falsified reports of pending environmental catastrophe. We hear a presentation now from Rosa Corey speaking at the Open Mind Conference in 2013. She has been a past guest on the show. Rosa is a forensic commercial real estate appraiser specializing in eminent domain valuation. She's a former district branch chief for the California Department of Transportation, and her 28-year career in litigation support on land use has culminated in exposing the impacts of sustainable development on private property rights and individual liberty. She's the author of several books, including Behind the Green Mask. Let's have a listen.
Thank you. The first thing I want to say is that if English is not your first language, I very much appreciate it that I can speak to you in English and you'll understand me. I really appreciate that because I don't know one word of Danish. So I really appreciate that. Someone said to me, just a couple of days ago, they said, it seems to me that people in the United States are kind of obsessed with the concept of freedom. And what I thought to myself is, but aren't we all? I mean, isn't this the nature of the human being, to be free? And even though, of course, it's like Dylan said, Bob Dylan, are birds free from the chains of the skyway? No, of course not. We are subject to the natural laws. But the laws of man should not be used to subjugate human beings. We are free. So what I'm going to be talking about is United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And I'm sure, unlike people in the United States, you may have heard about this global agreement. But in the United States, anyone who talks about it is considered to be and labeled a conspiracy theorist, an extremist, kind of a nut, right? And the press will malign you. In fact, up until very recently, the press denied, the United States press and the world press, denied that Agenda 21 exists. But it does. It exists. And it is the blueprint. It is the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all means of production, all construction, all energy, all education, all information, and all human beings in the world. Inventory and control. The action plan. Okay? It's the real deal. It's a transition from representative government to government governance by unelected boards and commissions. It's the erasure of jurisdictional boundaries and the loss of private property rights. And ultimately, you need to know that this, your body, is your most important private property, your body and your mind. So, ultimately it leads to the loss of sovereignty and freedom for all of us. So, of course, you're going to be concerned about this, not just as citizens of whatever nation you live in, but as free human beings. And this, of course, is a nonpartisan issue. So United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development was agreed to by 179 nations, including the United States and Denmark, in 1992 at the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. In the U.S., George H.W. Bush committed us to implementing sustainable development, and it's been supported by every president ever since. Bush, Clinton, Baby Bush, and Obama. This is a global plan, but it is implemented locally. So it gives the illusion of being a grassroots movement, but it is not. United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is the biggest public relations scam in the history of the world. But it's far more than that. It's the agenda for the 21st century. That's what it's called by the UN. And it's a recipe for destruction. It enables and justifies monitoring and metering and restricting our energy usage and our water usage. And you see that, of course, as smart meters. Instituting a carbon tax on industry and ultimately on us as individuals. Pulverizing our roads and destroying our dams. Instituting data collection and data sharing, information sharing, in energy usage, schools, healthcare, law enforcement, and in fact, in every part of our lives that had formerly been private. Diagnosing a huge portion of our population with mental illness and drugging us. It enables the revamping of our school systems by inserting sustainable development principles into every course from pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate school. So, by the way, if you're looking to the young generation to save us, you are looking at the resistance here. We must resist and work together. People are being indoctrinated in the school systems to support the principles of sustainable development. What else does it do? It enables the changing of every land use document in the world to require high density development, high density housing in city centers so that we can be more easily managed, controlled, and surveilled. It allows for warrantless searches and domestic surveillance. And hey, in the U.S., we are now, under the U.S. Patriot Act, we can be identified as potential enemy combatants, and we see the redefinition of torture. It allows for the loss of personal and national sovereignty in a global transfer to mega corporations. This is the erection of a corporatocracy. That's what it is. It's a global totalitarian state, and it is in progress right now. This is not something that's out there in the future, or it's not here in Denmark, or it's nothing to worry about. This is happening right now. This is what it looks like. It is incremental. That's how it works. It's no flashing lights. You're not going to see it named that very often. It's a stealth plan right out there in plain sight. And it sounds crazy, and it is crazy, but I'm not crazy. I guarantee you. So, there's an overarching political and social philosophy that goes with this plan, and it's communitarianism. All over the world, and certainly in the United States, our individual rights are paramount. Now, that doesn't mean that you can go and transgress on someone else, but it means that the individual's rights are guaranteed: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, who's going to define what the pursuit of happiness is? But this is all individuals know this for themselves, right? But under communitarianism, the individual's rights are balanced with the rights of the community. Now, there are no rights of the community, and the community itself is not delineated. You know, what is the community? If you dissent, I guarantee you, you are not the community. The community is whatever those who are in control define it as long as it is in support of those plans. So I'm going to give you an example. It's all for the common good. This is what you'll hear. It's all for the common good. So here's a way to think about this, okay? If you have your, we're going to do a visual here, okay? I'm going to take a clear pitcher of water, a clear glass of water, a glass of water. This is your individual rights. Okay, your individual rights, clear glass of water, put it down here. Now we're going to take a glass of milk. This is a communitarian state, communitarian rights, Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, Maoist China. This is the all for the common good. Okay, we're going to put that down. Now we're going to balance those rights. We're going to take a clear glass pitcher. We're going to take your individual rights and the rights of the community. We're going to balance them. We're going to pour them together. What do you have? You've got milk. You have subsumed your individual rights into the rights of the community. Undelineated, can change at any time. Okay? So, United Nations Agenda 21 is dependent on the Hegelian dialectic, and that says that a crisis is posed and a solution. A crisis comes up. Woo! And here's the solution. Okay? The balance between these becomes the new normal. Now, that's something that you may never have agreed to, that new normal, if it were not for that crisis. Okay? This is a new normal that is pressured. The acceptance of it is pressured because you have this crisis. So, in the case of Agenda 21, we've got two major crises that enable its full implementation. What's the first one? Global warming, right? Global warming, climate change. Yeah, it's serious. The planet's in danger. The sea levels are rising. Life forms are threatened, and it's our fault. I'll give you an example of this culture of emergency that we're living in. This comes out of the lousy newspaper in my area. It says, "It's hard to deny that the Earth is functioning well over capacity. Like an overworked horse, it's simply a matter of time before the global organism collapses." Ooh, feel that. I'm scared. Ooh, our selfish, wasteful, greedy ways have almost destroyed the planet. But what are you going to do? Well, here comes the UN to the rescue. Right? They're going to save the planet. 1987, the World Commission on Environment and Development, the Brundtland Commission, they came up with a book. It's called Our Common Future. And it defined sustainable development. That was, you know, now everybody thinks they know. You know, you go around man on the street interview, ask people what's sustainable development. They all, you know, it's cool, man. You know, we're going to live in balance with nature. All right. Okay, here's where it came up. This is sustainable development, the definition. Development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Hey, that sounds cool, doesn't it? I mean, who could disagree with that? Did your grandparents think, I'm going to do everything I can to screw up life for my grandkids? No, all of us want to continue to live and to make life possible for others and to conserve, you know, our environment. This is not about that. This is why I called my book Behind the Green Mask, because this is the mask, okay? So development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Well, great. All that remained then was to say, yes, indeed, everything we're doing now does compromise the ability of future generations to meet their needs. What are we going to do about it? So the General Assembly of the United Nations said to the World Commission on Environment and Development, hey, can you come back in 5 years, in 1992, with the action plan for sustainable development? And they did. And here it is, the action plan for sustainable development, Earth Summit, Agenda 21, the United Nations Program of Action at Rio. 1992, Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit, 300 pages, 40 chapters. This itself is a green mask. This itself, if you don't know how to read it and what you're looking at, you will be, you will think that it's just a document that talks about how everyone should be concerned about the planet. That is not what this is really about. In fact, the chairman, Maurice Strong, who you're going to remember, Maurice Strong, of course, had to flee to China because of the oil for food scandal. He was the chair of the World Commission on Environment and Development in 1992. And he said, what's unsustainable? The middle class lifestyle, the middle class suburban lifestyle, single family residences, private vehicles, appliances, air conditioning, meat eating, tillage, breaking the Earth's surface is unsustainable. Okay, so if you're into organic farming, if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go out there on a nice little piece of land and raise something, tillage is unsustainable. You need a $250,000 seed injection machine because you need to inject those seeds into the earth, right? Well, the optimum way of growing food is going to be in a downtown parking garage. Now, they don't call it that. They have other names for it, but that's what it'll look like, a big structure in the center of your town where your food is grown in a concrete building. That's the optimal. Now, there are three E's, the three E's of sustainable development. This is the logo, the image that you're going to see, and this is what you hear, is the three E's, economy, ecology, and equity, social equity. And I'll show you the image for this. It's in here somewhere. You may have seen this. It's the three interlocking circles, right? It's ecology, economy, and social equity. And where they meet in the center, this is all where everything's in balance, and that's sustainable development. Okay? So the key provision, it's key to this plan that there be total data collection and information sharing worldwide. Because how else can you monitor whether people are balancing their environment, their economy, and their social equity? It impacts economics, housing, transportation, land use, health, education, water, energy, food production, privacy, and security. Is there anything I missed? Global biodiversity is dependent on creating something called islands of human habitation. Islands of human habitation. This is where we'll be. Dense urban cores surrounded by buffer zones and corridors for animals. The idea is to collect human beings into concentrated city centers, concentrated centers. So, okay, in 1992, the Earth Summit, 979 nations agreed by consensus to adopt this plan. It's a global plan. The goal was to implement sustainable development in all public and private policies and activities. The entire world. How was it done? How'd they do it? I'll tell you about the U.S. In 1993, when Clinton took office, he created the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And this is, all the countries did this. They all created their local Agenda 21 to implement it locally. Okay? So, who was on that? You need to hear this because you need to see how this all comes together. It's a beautiful, beautiful framework for totalitarian control. So who did they have on that? They had 10 cabinet-level secretaries, defense, interior, agriculture, education, transportation, and captains of industry like Enron. Ken Lay was on the President's Council on Sustainable Development, BP, British Petroleum, DuPont, Dow Chemical, Siba Geigy, Sandoz, Novartis, was on the President's Council on Sustainable Development. What do? They provide vaccines. What else? Hypertension drugs and Ritalin for children. Who else was on there? Nonprofit organizations like the World Resources Defense Fund, the National Resources Defense Fund, the World Wildlife Fund and Council, the Sierra Club. Okay, so what this does is it brings nonprofits, government, and corporations together to implement policy, because the idea was that this plan could be implemented administratively all over the world without us knowing about it. So how were they going to do it? They were going to use and are using land use plans, because this is the way to control the population, is by controlling land. So in 1996, the President's Council on Sustainable Development in the U.S. gave a multi-million dollar grant to the American Planning Association to come up with a book. Now, it's a 12-pound book, so I didn't bring it with me. It's called Growing Smart, Legislative Guidebook with Model Statutes for Planning and the Management of Change. Change. Now, think about that word change. You don't have change without destruction. Transformation requires destruction of the old way. Now, that word change was used in the Obama administration, is still being used, along with the word forward. Change and forward, without asking, change to what? Forward to what? And what does that mean? So here we go. We've got a legislative guidebook that is now in every university, if you're studying planning, and every single planning department in the entire nation, that is guiding every planning department with sustainable development principles. So they said, hey, we're going to be able to do this. We're going to make this thing happen. And we can implement this without the people knowing, but when they find out that they're living in a dictatorship, they might not be happy. So it might be unpopular. So what are they going to do? So they came up with another book. It's called Sustainable America, A New Consensus. So you know the word consensus. If you look up consensus in a dictionary, hey, if we were going to have consensus in here, we'd all be in a big circle, we'd talk, let's say we're going to go party tonight. So we're going to talk about it and decide where we want to go, and everybody's going to get a chance to, we're going to work it out, right? That's real consensus, agreement of all parties. No. This is the new consensus. What is it? What is the definition? The new consensus is neutralization of the opposition. Neutralizing your enemies. Neutralize and convert. You dare to dissent? Agenda 21 is top-down, global, but it gives the illusion of being local, right? So it purports to being sourced in the people, and it needs support by the stakeholders. You think you're a stakeholder. You are not a stakeholder, okay? They need community buy-in, so they create it. In fact, they create the community. In fact, your local government is engaged. Now, you know, does this sound like, hey, this is a conspiracy, but it ain't no theory. This is the real deal. So your local government will go out into your neighborhoods and identify people who are willing to work with them. And then they will elevate them. They'll say, hey, have you thought about starting a neighborhood association? If you dissent, they bring in men with guns. There are now men with guns in every government city meeting that the public is invited to. Men with guns ring the walls. They're called police officers. I've been chased down an aisle when I had a mic, when I was, you know, giving my opinion, you can imagine, and chased by a police officer. I said, what are you going to do, arrest me for saying something? You afraid I'm going to say something? You're going to see, okay, so this is it. You're going to see these terms, and they all sound cool. This is all straight out of Agenda 21. Capacity building, strengthening community, consensus building, vibrant, walkable, transformation, livable, change. God, it feels good, doesn't it? Yes, this is it. This is manufactured consensus and behavioral modification. This is public re-education. Lifelong learning, you ever see that? Lifelong learning, that's when you go to school as a child and you never stop being indoctrinated. Come on down, we'll give you a class in knitting, and meanwhile we're going to tell you about sustainable development. And it's not about making sure that those sheep are well cared for and eating the right things. It's not about that. It is about manipulating public opinion. It is about opening the populace to accepting decisions made by consensus. So in case you think I'm making this up, I want to show you this. I got this little thing on Amazon. It was published in 1994 or something, and I'm sure that it didn't sell many copies. Now they're just flying off the shelves. I'm sure they're like, what the heck's going on with this? This is called Rescue Mission Planet Earth, A Children's Guide to Agenda 21. Okay, it's so cute. It's got pictures. It's by the Children of the World and Boutros-Ghali of the UN. Okay? Oh, this is so cute. It's all about how we're messing up the planet. And there's this one little quote I'll tell you. This is for children. The planet groans every time it registers another birth. I'm giving this to my kids. So what else does it say? There's this little booklet in the back. It says, turning Agenda 21 into action is a big challenge for us all. Thousands of people at the United Nations and all over the world are working on it. This booklet will show parents and educators how children can start to be a part of this work. Children are being used. They're being indoctrinated. They're told that they're killing the planet and that they have the power to save it. They're telling the most powerless people on the earth that they have the power to save it, the kind of stress that creates in a human being, right? You're killing the planet. So, you know, there's something very important about what's going on in the educational system right now, and that's that there's no such thing as objective reality. Hey, that's just your opinion. Everybody is entitled to their opinion about how things are. No one's worth more than anyone else. No one's values are more important than anyone else. No one's abilities are more important than anyone else. Of course, no one's more important than anyone else, but no one's reality is real. It's all completely changeable. It's amorphous. Even mathematics. Even the certainty of mathematics is now being messed around with by those who are teaching sustainable development. Hey, if you think 1 + 1 = 5, well, let's really think about that. Because, you know, you're valued here, and your opinion is important to us. So what this does is it creates that uncertainty about what is real. So when I tell you that what I'm telling you right now is the truth, and you can check it out for yourself, well, hey, that's just my opinion. The idea that, here's the deal. The idea is that life in the suburbs is, and the rural areas, I think your whole country is rural, isn't it? Pretty much, except for Copenhagen and Aarhus and a few other cities. You are a rural nation here in Denmark. And the United States, by the way, is 2.5 times the size of Europe and has roughly 60% of the population. Big, big country. There's places you can go out and walk and nobody will find your body for a long time. But we're using up nature. That's what we're being told. So the idea is that life in the suburbs and the rural areas is unsustainable because we produce too many greenhouse gas emissions with our evil sprawl. You live in a house, you got a yard, you're bad. So, it costs too much to get public transportation out to you, you selfish thing living out there in nowhere, right? So, we're going to bring you into the city centers so that we'll be more sustainable. Dense city centers. We're going to build, using your tax dollars, subsidies, we're going to build smart growth. Now, I don't know if I... this thing is called growing smart. I don't know if you're familiar with the term smart growth. You're not. Well, in the United States, it is, you trip over it. It's like printed on the street. You can't miss it. Smart growth. Everything's smart, by the way. You got a smartphone, you got a smart yard, you got a smart. Anything that's smart, you better figure it's stupid. You're being manipulated. Smart? So, this is growing smart. We're going to grow smart. We're going to put you in a cell block and paint it a nice color. Okay, so you're in a high-density development. What does that mean? It means apartments or condos on top of shops in the center of town. You've got a bus lane or a bus line out there. Maybe you got a train. Okay, the building's built right to the edge of the sidewalk. Right to the edge of the sidewalk. Oh, you're running down the street. You did something. You're hiding. Where are you going to hide? Nowhere. That building's built right to the edge of the sidewalk. And what do you have? Miles of those. Around the back in an alley, you've got access for a single car per unit or less. Around in the front, you've got a wide sidewalk so you can have coffee in your little coffee shop. You got a bike lane. You got a single lane for cars, trucks, buses, deliveries. And you got a median strip with some trees in the middle. Oh, your house is burning down? Well, hopefully the emergency vehicles will be able to get through there. So, this is, and then the other side of the street's the same. This is built often with your tax dollars. Infrastructure is built with your tax dollars. The towns are being rezoned and redesigned to high-density development. These units, what do you have when you live in a condo? You think you own that? No. The homeowners association owns your butt. You don't want to pay for the new roof? Well, they're going to lean your house, and you will be paying that. They can raise your homeowners association fees at any time. If you're in an apartment, you're mobile, you can move. You don't consider that you're part of that structure, that part of that life, part of that community. So high-density development, it's not about that building. It is an ideology. It's an ideology that says that if you live in a home, if you have a yard, if you're growing your plants and not in a community garden, if you want private space in your backyard, what are you doing back there? Hey, and you better be on your bike because what do you have in the trunk of that car? Who's in there with you? You might be saying something. Where can you be where you're not being listened to? So, how do they do this? How are they implementing this worldwide? They are using an international group called the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI. ICLEI. Now, you probably, have you ever heard of ICLEI? Ever heard of ICLEI? Apps, oh good. There's like one person in here that's heard of ICLEI, all right? Why haven't you heard of it? Why haven't you heard of it? 179 cities in Europe are members. Most major cities in the world are members. That means you are a member. London, Berlin, Madrid, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Rome, Amsterdam, Copenhagen. Are members of the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. It is a non-governmental organization created to implement Agenda 21 worldwide, to influence policy. It's a stealth organization in 80 countries. It says it gauges livability, and it sells climate action plans. But really what it is it's a policy and legislation arm of the United Nations. And it's made up of elected officials, non-governmental organizations, and consultants making policy for you. So this is how it happens. They actually, what they do is they concentrate power in the cities, in the large cities, and they slip the power, they slide the power into the control of non-representative boards and commissions. And then, for instance, the United States did not sign the Kyoto Treaty. The U.S. did not agree to Kyoto. But 1,055 United States mayors did. They, in fact, agreed to implement through ICLEI, they agreed to implement the Kyoto Treaty in their cities. And these are major cities in the United States. So what they did is they went around the requirements, they went around the national requirements for ratification of a treaty. And this is how you break jurisdictional boundaries. This is what this is about. So, okay, so what's the goal? Hey, I want to tell you this one thing. Check this out. When Obama was running last time, he said, I'm going to commit the United States to reducing our greenhouse gas emissions 80% below 1990 levels. 80% below 1990 levels. Well, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? So I thought, gee, I wonder what year the U.S., I wonder what year we were at 90%, 80% of 1990 levels. I've got it. Okay, so I found a chart. I looked at it. Taking the greenhouse gas emissions of the year 2004, okay, that was the chart went up to that, so I found 1990, and then I dropped 80% below that emission and found what year was the United States, what year was the world emitting 80% of 1990 levels of greenhouse gas emissions? What year was that? What do you think? 80% below 1990 levels. Close, 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 but wrong. 1934. Oh, a great year for the world, right in the depths of the Depression, right? Oh, this is cool. We got it all going on. 80% below night. But think about this. Do we have more people now than we had in 1934? So what does that mean? On a per capita basis, you're back in the 1880s, except you can't have a horse because it emits too many greenhouse gas emissions, so you're on a bicycle. This is it. You're on a bike. Okay, the goal is using the green mask of environmental concern. The two parts of Agenda 21 are imposed, and that is smart growth, high-density development, moving populations into controlled city centers where they can be monitored, controlled, and surveilled, and the other part, the Wildlands Project. Wildlands. Getting people off the rural land, blocking access to wilderness roads and resources, and shifting land ownership from private to public. And then when it's in public hands, it can be then shifted into other private hands, conglomerates, large corporations. So that's the way, this is how it's done. In Europe, all the nations made local Agenda 21 plans. All nations. And by the way, if you check out our website, Post Sustainability Institute, you'll find the link to the United Nations where you can actually find your own country, find the plans. This was updated, the UN updated it Don't worry about it. I'll give you the information. Don't write it down now. What it was that the United Nations recorded those plans and actually had everything together on their websites up until about 1997. So you'll see, you know, from 1992 to 1997, and yes, Denmark is on there, and you can check it out. So, for instance, here in Denmark, let's just take Denmark. In the year 2000, the Danish Planning Act was amended to commit all municipalities to the development of local Agenda 21 strategies. In, you know, the Earth Summit was, you know, every 5 years. So in Johannesburg in 2002, what was the goal there? Broadening the role and capacity of local authorities in implementing Agenda 21. Here in Denmark, you've got the Aalborg Agreement in 1994. Aalborg Plus 10, 2004, founded the European Local Action 21 Roundtable, public-private partnerships. Fascism. Yeah, that's one of the best ways. That's how do you implement this? You use the corporations, which pressure the government, work together funding the non-governmental organizations, which pressure the government, and then you have people that are shifting from one role to the other. Well, they go out of office, and now they're the head of whatever the environmental group is, and then they move from there into another elected position, and this is how your policies are changed. In 2012 was the 20th anniversary of Agenda 21, right? Rio Plus 20. And in Rio de Janeiro, what was the deal there? Strengthening the role of major groups, non-governmental organizations. What did they do there? They say it's a failure. If you check it out with the UN, they're going to tell you, oh, that thing, that failed. We really screwed. They always tell you they failed. They always tell you they failed in their plans because they don't want you to freak out. Yes, we achieved our goal. So, strengthening the role of major groups, what did they do? They made $500 billion in agreements between non-governmental organizations, foundations, corporations, and governments at that time. The World Business Council for Sustainable Development, who's on that? Monsanto, GM, Sony, DuPont. How about those seeds, huh? Okay, so what you have here, you've got whatever, however you set up your representative government, but in the States, we've got city, county, state, and federal. What do they all have in common? They're all elected by you. Now, yeah, they may not represent you, and you might not be happy about it, and you might need a whole heck of a lot of money to get in there, and things are very seriously messed up. You still have the illusion of electing them, and at your local level, you are making policy and electing those officials. But what is this? Think about this. Global, regional, neighborhood. What do they have in common? Not representative, you do not elect any of those positions. And that is what we are shifting to. So if you raise your voice against this, you're a dissenter, right? Communitarianism. Land use and land ownership restrictions are vital to this plan because they make regionalization possible. And here's what Ernst Huber, the official Nazi Party spokesman, said about this in 1933. Here's the official Nazi policy on land. All property is common property. The owner is bound by the people and the Reich to the responsible management of his goods. His legal position is only justified when he satisfies this responsibility to the community. Zbigniew Brzezinski, I think it's ended in 33. Zbigniew Brzezinski is the former national security advisor to President Carter. In 1995, 3 years after Agenda 21 was agreed to, he said, "We cannot leap into world government in one quick step. The precondition for eventual globalization, true globalization, genuine globalization, is progressive regionalization. Because thereby we move towards larger, more stable, more cooperative units, like the EU. Started as a trade agreement, This is how it works. Globalization, if you don't take anything else from this, think about this. Globalization is the standardization of systems. Standardization, you're going to see it as harmonization, homogeneity, uniformity. Hey, you can't control systems that don't match up. Systems refer to the legal system, the educational system, healthcare, markets, land use, law enforcement. Do you know about fusion centers? Fusion centers? My goodness, I must be somewhere else. I must not be in the United States. They must not tell you that what they're doing now with law enforcement is integrating, militarizing your local police force, integrating it with your state police, your military, Interpol, the entire world is being completely integrated. Fusion centers, FBI, CIA, all of your records, everything. You cannot fall into those little cracks anymore. Can't happen anymore. Total seamless information awareness. Total awareness. So globalization is the process of developing worldwide uniformity in social, political, economic, and environmental controls. That's what it is. That's globalization. It's the rise of the city-state, okay? This is how you do it. That's what regionalization is the rise of the city-state. You're going to lose nations. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't really have time to talk about nationalism, but what I want to say is that the smaller the unit, the more power you have. If you're regionalized and you have 200 representatives sitting on an unelected, they're elected, but they're sitting on an unelected board making policy. And let's just say this room, we are all representing some town or some state or some nation. How much voice do we have? Who listens to us? And how much power do we have? So I'm going to show you the new map of the United States of America. And you may not be able to see this very well. We have 50 states in the United States, but this is mega regions. Mega regions. Mega regions. Mega, large. Mega regions. These are the city states. These are large cities that are being made larger. Now, remember I told you that the gray area is the wildlands. That's going to be the area that no one will have access to. And you know, I haven't told you anything about myself. I was a legal witness, an expert witness in land use and land valuation for my government, for the State Department of Transportation. Expert witness, testified in court. And I found out about this because I saw that people were not being able to use their land. And I looked behind that and I found Agenda 21. This is true. Okay, the federal government of the United States is doing this, is in process of creating mega regions, which are essentially crossing national boundaries. This is Cascadia. It used to be a portion of Washington State, Oregon State, Idaho, and Vancouver area, British Columbia in Canada. The Southern California and Texas Triangle areas include part of Mexico. This breaks national boundaries, it breaks state boundaries, it breaks county boundaries. It's also a project of the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. Regionalization and world government. You use trade agreements to destroy boundaries, and you actually cannot make local law that breaks those treaties. Okay, you standardize the law, you relocate populations and jobs. We've got the Trans-Pacific Partnership coming up in the United States, in the Pacific Rim, and about to come in December is the Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership with the EU and the United States. The United Nations policy on land use was established in 1976, and it says land. You know, first of all, let me just tell you, if you think nobody owns anything, and hey, aren't we all just cool, this is just the world, this is just life, and oh, nobody can really own anything, and no one's free. I am sorry. That is not true. We do have ownership. We have ownership of this. Our ownership extends to those things that we value. Now, when that is taken away from us by, as I said, you know, birds are not free from the chains of the skyway, but I do not wish to be chained by any man. Now, here is the land use policy of the United Nations. It says land can't be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. No, no, private land ownership is a principal accumulation instrument for accumulating wealth and concentrating wealth, and therefore it contributes to social injustice. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. And what does that mean? It means that right now in the San Francisco Bay Area, we are fighting a huge plan that merges 9 counties and 101 cities into a single unit. Our group, my group, is suing to stop this. These plans are all over the United States. They regionalize the area, and most people have no idea that they exist. Most people are completely unaware that they will have no power to determine if they can use their land or not. If you bought a nice piece of land to retire on and you want to build a house on it later, you'll find that if you're outside of a 4% land area in the San Francisco Bay Area, 4%, that you cannot build on it. 100% of the structures in rural areas outside of the urban centers in the San Francisco Bay Area has to be rural. 100%. You want to build a house out there? No, you can't do that. Now, these plans are the same plan all over the world. I've got, here's the local county below me, just south of me, and they have the logo for United Nations Agenda 21 right in their land use plan. The San Francisco plan is the same plan as the Hanoi Capital Regional Plan 2030, Hanoi, Vietnam. So land use plans are used to change and craft the physical built environment. Where and how you live really determines your life. So this cult of new urbanism is a war on rural people. Rural people. That's what you're going to find, because what do corporations want? They want a mobile workforce. They want a release of all regulation on moving products across boundaries. They don't want boundaries. And they want low wages. So if you're low wages, so if you're living in a high-density apartment in the city center, you don't have any land around you, you're in an apartment, you rent it, you are a mobile person, you can be moved from one place to the other where the jobs are, you can be easily moved, and your wages can be low because you do not have a vehicle, you've got a bicycle. It's a lot cheaper to move you around, and you can be more easily surveilled because you have no private space. Okay, got it? So, no, not yet. After. No. I'll answer everything you got, but not right now. Okay, so here we go. This is it. When you restrict single-family home development and you consolidate populations into tight urban centers, you're going to devastate land ownership and land use. And that's nationwide. In China, they've got the so-called ghost cities. Do you know about those? They're building. Everybody's like, gee, I wonder what they're doing that for. Gosh, nobody's living there, and there are all these big, tall buildings that they just built. I wonder, oh, okay, now we know. They're moving the rural populations in there against their will. They're relocating the rural populations against their will into these city centers that are built with full surveillance capability. All right, London, Berlin, Milan, other EU cities all across the world, this high-density apartment block construction is happening often with government subsidies, very often with government subsidies. So, the Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project is, hey, this is a map of North America. You notice it has no boundaries on it because animals don't know where the boundaries are. The idea is that swaths of land will be identified huge sections. I mean, I don't know how well you can see this, maybe not too well. This is a project of the World Resources Institute and the Wildlands Network. It's being implemented through the United States Environmental Protection Agency. This is about creating areas that are huge corridors for animal movement. The spine of the continent takes out about 12 states, goes down through most of Mexico, and comes up all the way to Alaska. The idea is that... What? The idea is to remove humans and human activity from rural and suburban areas. Agenda 21 is rural cleansing. When you have fires, is it produced through HAARP? Possibly. When you have fires, when you have floods, when you're looking at tremendous devastation like you've never seen before, oh no, we're not going to let you back in there to build. Rebuild your house, because you were living in a national forest, and we bought that land all around you, and now we want you out of there. Why? Because wilderness. What is wilderness identified as? What is wilderness? You think you know, you go out and you take a walk, and you think you're in wilderness? Wilderness is an area where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, where man himself is a visitor who does not remain. That's wilderness.
That was part of Rosa Corey's presentation at the Open Mind Conference in 2013. As many listeners know, what's very sneaky here is that the topic of being environmentally mindful has been hijacked. The anti-geoengineering and weather control activists actually care about the health of their environment. That's why they sounded the alarm about the effects of spraying soft metals into the atmosphere and using electromagnetic technology to heat weather systems. This scam is a critical linchpin for the surveillance state, and it's steamrolling ahead. Meanwhile, we are to believe at this point that there is no weather control technology being used, only cloud seeding, that Mother Nature is dying and retaliating with violent weather. Therefore, you, the individual, will be taxed. As past guest Andrew Hennessy has written, quote, we have polluted the earth, destroyed our planet, started wars, and, quote, we should be punished. The blame gets laid at the door of, quote, we the common people. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit InOtherNewsRadio.com for archives and more information about the guests.